Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Mark in chapter 2. Mark in chapter 2. On Sunday nights, we've been going through a series on the teachings of Christ. The teachings of Christ, we've been going in chronological order as we began with the message he presented at 12 years of age. And we have been studying through all the different lessons, all the messages, all the teachings of Christ found here in the Gospels. We're in the second year now of his public ministry, and this next event is found here in Mark in chapter 2. It's also found in Matthew and Luke's writings as well, but we're going to study here in Mark chapter 2. So if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 down to verse 12. The Bible says, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, inasmuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again tonight, what a blessing just to be assembled together in your name with your eternal word before us. Opportunity to not only read it and study it, but to have you speak to us through it. I pray tonight that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So here in the teachings of Christ, we find another assembly. Jesus was assembling with the people quite often. It would be another opportunity for Jesus to do what he came to do. And that's to preach the word of God. One of the most important things that take place for believers as we assemble ourselves together is the preaching of the words of God. The house was full. There wasn't any room. It's always a blessing as for a preacher to preach to a full house. We have found it's not very enjoyable preaching to empty pews. although there for a little while, that's what we had to do, just a handful of people here and live streaming everything makes you appreciate a full crowd, a full pews. The house was full. No room at all. Then from the ceiling, they heard a noise and looked up, and it was making a hole in the ceiling. However they did it, the Bible describes some of what they did, and it took off the ceiling, made a hole, so that they would lower a man sick of the palsy into the room. Jesus did not reprimand them. I love that. Matter of fact, he's God. He knew it was going to happen. Jesus, seeing this publicly, forgives him of his sin. Now, it's not always the reason for sickness, but this time it was. The forgiving him of his sin would also lead this man to be healed. So he would have been saved and he would have been healed in this service. Some were troubled with this. So then Jesus, wanting to apply the illustration that had just taken place, tells the man that he just forgave him of his sins, tells him to arise and walk. And when that happened, verse 12 says, all were amazed. We never saw it on this fashion. And the service came to an end. I'd love to have been there. I mean, this was part of history when Christ, this was an opportunity that he would take to teach, to preach, and then to have preserved for the entire church age to learn from this. Again, we've been teaching on and looking at the events of Christ as the teachings of Christ and the lessons that he would teach while he was here. The message I want to preach to you tonight that I believe was something that we find here in this passage of Scripture and understanding what took place is, what were the people thinking? I can't let myself go there when I'm preaching because everyone looks like they're thinking something different. You can't concentrate on the faces of people. Amen. Now, I do concentrate on more on those that are listening than those that are not listening. And sometimes I'll walk over and get closer to those that are going to sleep to try to wake them up a little bit. One of the reasons I walk from side to side is to wake people up, amen, and maybe put a little fear in maybe addressing you if you continue to snore. I believe when we look here and just realize what the Bible records and helps us to see what people are thinking, it might help us today in our worship services as we assemble in the very like manner that they assembled in Christ's day, the assembly. There's many reasons for people attending the service. Verse 2, it reveals to us here that there was no room. And he preached the word. There were a lot of people there. Now, we don't know just what kind of house. Was this the church house? Was this the house of a member? A larger house? No doubt it was a large assembly. The many that were there would consist, first of all, on genuine followers who wanted to personally hear from Jesus. Now, wherever he would go, he would have those, the apostles, a lot of their family members, and those that have been saved, those that have been healed, those that just, as we preach on this morning, the woman that was told to go and to sin no more, and she thought she was going to get stoned, and yet she has shown mercy and grace. No doubt she's part of those following after Jesus now. With a hunger and a thirst to hear what he has to say, because they know that he has the words of God. For they look to him to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And they would, any opportunity they had to hear him preach, they wanted to be there to hear him preach, much like we are instructed today for church members. Can I tell you, God does not instruct lost people to go to church. Now, they're welcome, and he, no doubt, he preaches to the lost, and we preach to the lost in church, but it's not a lost person's responsibility to God to go to church. It's not a lost person's responsibility or even command to tithe. God doesn't expect the lost to tithe. He doesn't expect the lost to not to be in every church service. He doesn't expect the lost to read the Bible. He doesn't expect the lost to pray. But he does for those who have received him as their Savior, who know him to be who he is. And so that's why we find that in the Bible, and I believe Paul wrote here in verses that you're very familiar with, but in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he said, don't lose that. Hold on to it. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's something that we ought to do. It's something that as believers we are commanded to do. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the assembling of believers together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So they were there. Genuine followers who wanted to personally hear from Jesus. Praise the Lord for that group. That's members. Some, and I believe these would have been the membership, but they wanted even to get a little bit more out of the service. So in verse 3, the Bible says, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Some took time to reach out to the lost and needy and brought a sick man who would not come on his own. I wonder how many would be here tonight if every faithful believer, member of the church, would take advantage of bringing others that might not come unless you invited them, and maybe you had to even go pick them up. This was something, I mean, the Bible records this for us. It helps us to see this. It was four. They took time to reach out to a man with palsy. Lost man. I believe that these would have been a little more invested and looking forward to a great service. knowing if they could get this man there, some pretty amazing things would take place. They did not leave disappointed, because the Bible says at the end, they all were amazed. Amen. And then there was some skeptics. Verse 6, but there were certain scribes and sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. These would have been the scribes. These would have been religious skeptics who really didn't come to learn, didn't come to worship, but they came thinking that they were scholars. The scribes prided themselves on Old Testament truths, scholars of the Old Testament. Possibly this group was there to question whatever was said, to try to disprove Jesus from being the Messiah. I believe there's lost in pretty much every service that we have. Not everyone that's lost thinks that they're lost. But they would come with a skeptic type of mentality. So many were there. I think as we read this, the Bible records it, helps us to see that in this assembly, there was a lot of different types of people in that assembly. If we only knew everything about everyone here tonight, we would say, whoa. I would never have thought that. Amen? It's a good thing we can't read minds. I think it would have been a curse without having the patience and the mercy and the grace of God. Yeah. And then we find the service. Now we have the assembly and different ones that are there. Now we're looking at the service itself, because he reveals some things about the service. Jesus was preaching the word. But not everybody was listening. As I said before, praise the Lord for people sitting in the pews. That praise the Lord for preaching to people instead of empty pews. But not everybody listens. Everybody remembers the illustrations. If you were here this morning, I guarantee you're thinking about the candy bar that I stole. When you left here, that was on your mind. I trust that you also took with you the message. But the illustrations kind of helps us with the messages. That's why it's good for preachers to have illustrations. Jesus allowed this illustration of four men bringing a man with a palsy through the roof. Everyone's listening. They might not. They might have been there, the skeptics, the scribes. They're just trying to find fault. They're really not looking to worship, and they're not looking to receive. And who knows what's going on in some of the other people's minds. Can I tell you, I understand that. You have to want to listen to really listen. And the farther away from the preacher you have to want to, that much harder, because there's more things in front of you that will distract you. Amen? That fly that's flying around that person's head, you remember that fly, but you don't remember anything about the message. That couple that are a little bit too close. The teenagers that you've seen pass that letter. If you're in the front pew like these guys here, you can't distract them. They don't know what you're doing, not at all. If you're in the very back pew, you see what everybody's doing. I'm just saying, if you're going to listen, it's because you want to listen. You understand the purpose of the few minutes that we have together in the preaching of the word. And you stay focused on what God has to say to you through the preaching of the word. Jesus allowed this illustration right in the middle of the service. I believe that he prepared them for it. Whatever he was preaching on, it was going to be something that he would apply. What were the thoughts of the people when they saw these four lowering this sick man, lost sick man, into the front of the services? Those from the back row who wanted to hear, but there was no front row pews available. See, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. You're in the balcony because you didn't think there'd be enough pews up front, any openings up front. I understand. Praise the Lord. Spiritually minded people in the balcony. Spiritually minded people in the back pews of the church. I'm trying to help you. They were outside the doors because they couldn't get in. And so now, because they couldn't get in, they're actually having to listen more intently to hear what's being said. So they're maybe a little bit more focused. And then they see somebody entering through the ceiling. And they would have thought, why didn't I think to do that? They got right up to where Jesus was at. The front pew people that came in early to make sure that they got that seat might have been thinking, who do these people think they are coming through the roof and taking my spot? I'm being honest, amen? If you were in that, I've been in conferences before, and yeah, I mean, you go to national conferences and you have everything going on. When we host a national conference, we're hosting another national GIBF meeting in 2022. This place will be packed. And they'll come early. They'll come an hour to an hour and a half early just to put their Bibles down and trying to save those front pews because they want to hear what's being said. They want to receive what God has for them. And for somebody to come and move their Bible or somebody to come and take their seat, who do they think they are? Yeah. And then the skeptics. Yeah, this is all pre-planned. Wonder what he's going to do with this. Is this genuine? Is this real? Would people actually carry someone who is lost and sick of the palsy and do all the work of climbing up on the roof of the building and taking a hole out of the building and lowering down? Is there people really like that? Really thinking that this man is going to be helped? He can't even walk. Skeptics. Jesus was aware of each one. I love that. Because if your heart's where it needs to be, he knows that, and you can rejoice. And wherever it is that you sit. Yeah. He was aware of all that was taking place. In verse 5, the Bible says this, when Jesus saw their faith, knowing that bringing this man to him would make a difference. He addressed these men and their faith and applied the illustration. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. He could have been preaching on the forgiveness of sins. He could have been preaching how a person has to come to the place where they see themselves as lost in need of a Savior. He would have been preaching on possibly that you have to personally acknowledge that you're a sinner and then receive the gift of everlasting life that God is going to make available not only to the Jews but to the Gentiles and whosoever will ask. I don't know that he was preaching the word. That's in the word. And this would be a perfect illustration to help people to see and apply. Yeah. And then he perceived in verse 8 what the skeptics were thinking. They reasoned within themselves and said unto them, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. It would make the same difference. Jesus' message was made clear to all that would listen when he said, but that ye may know. He's addressing everyone's hearing what he's saying. The four men that brought this man crippled of the palsy, the man that was just told his sins were forgiven, the faithful followers that were in the service, and even the skeptics, they all heard what they needed to hear. He made it clear to all that would listen that he is the Son of God. And as God, he has power to not only heal, but to forgive sins. After the service, Christ doesn't come in the middle of the service. There's going to be an after the service. And no, I'm not going to talk about going back and getting Kroger food. The one most impacted by the service was the lost, crippled man. But oh, how his life changed. Saved, healed, was able to return to his house a different man. A life-changing experience. Which is available to every lost sinner who would walk through the doors of any genuine worship service where the word of God is being preached. That's how powerful the services are. That's how powerful the word of God is. That's why we are commanded not to forsake the assembling, so that we will continue to have an assembly and so much more as you see the day approaching, because things are going to be worse and worse. There's going to be a greater need for people to hear the truth. Who better should know that than born-again believers? The one impacted the most was the man that got saved. The second were the four soul winners. that took time to bring this lost sinner to Christ. They were more invested in the service. During the entire service, they was praying, God, save this man. Holy Spirit, convict his heart. Reveal to him his need. When you're invested in the service, you're praying for the service, can I tell you, you'll get more out of the service. When you have somebody that you brought to the service that you know needs to be saved, needs a life-changing experience, can I tell you, you'll get more out of the service as well. In Jude, in verse 22 and verse 23, let me just read this to you in Jude, and we're almost done here, just coming to the end, but in the book of Jude, the Bible says this, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh, making a difference. You might not think that you have what it takes to make a difference in anybody's life, but you better understand, and you need to understand, Jesus does. Jesus has what every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability needs to change their lives, to help them, to bring healing, and ultimately to have a peace that passeth all understanding and knowing I have heaven to look forward to. And then it would be the followers. Now, I'm looking at verse 12 and it says, they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. This was the best service I've ever been to. They were amazed. They were glorifying God and already looking forward to the next opportunity to assemble. That's church members. No matter how powerful a morning service is, I'm looking forward to the evening service. And I have expectations of a powerful evening service. And when you leave on Sunday night and thinking, praise God, I'm looking forward to the next opportunity we have to get together and do it all over again. And we can do it all over again until Christ calls the church home. And can I tell you, the way the world's going, we need it for our own sanity, for our own peace, to be able to have joy. We need it. And God knows we need it. For the scribes, I believe that even they were amazed. Maybe still not ready to get saved. But after being there, another seed was planted. Maybe those that you invite and those that you go and pick up and bring to the services, they might not get saved, but you can rest assured that they were exposed to the Word of God, and another seed was planted. And if they are going to get saved, if they're going to ever get to that place where they'll call upon the name of the Lord, they need those seeds. Seed is the Word of God. Once it's there, then you just keep watering it and watering it until it blossoms. The question tonight, that's what we have. That's the next event. That's the teachings of Christ. The question tonight, how invested are we in the assembling of ourselves together. If I could have ever head bowed. How invested am I? How important is it to me? It's not the design of man. It's the design of God and his understanding of the need of man. Father, we bow before you now. Thank you, Lord God, for this event in the life of our Lord and the teaching that we find in this event. And I pray now that as we have heard it, that we would apply it as we have need to apply it. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.